Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
A woman followed from work by unknown car was shot in the head. A 23-year-old woman is recovering in the hospital after Philadelphia police say she was followed by an unknown vehicle and then shot in the head early Saturday morning. According to the Philadelphia Police Department, the woman had arrived at a hospital by a private vehicle around 3:15 a.m. on April 5th, 2025, suffering from a gunshot wound to the left side of her forehead. Crazy stuff. She reported being followed on Interstate 76 East by a black Nissan of unknown model. Police said the vehicle description included heavily tinted windows and an inoperable left front headlight.
It's standard operating procedure around here.
It's always the tinted windows.
I hate to start off Monday morning
with this. Signal's not working, lights blown out.
It is what it is, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. It's horrible.
I know we're going to get into this, but hundreds in Philadelphia joined the nationwide hands-off protest to voice concerns over Trump and Elon Musk, even though they probably don't really know what they are, in fact, protesting. Hundreds marched down Market Street in Center City in opposition to the Trump administration and Elon Musk. Philadelphians joined the nationwide protest called, quote, hands off, that expected to happen in all 50 states. Protesters said the administration cuts to the Department of Education, firing of federal workers, and its mass deportation plan are among the reasons they decided to attend.
These people, I'll tell you.
We have some of the 6ABC report. Mm-hmm. Phil, if you want to grab that, roll it.
No KKK, no fascist U.S.
From City Hall to Independence Mall, thousands of protesters mobilized in Philadelphia for the hands-off demonstration on Saturday. More than 1,200 marches took place across the country. Organizers say they rallied against President Donald Trump and billionaire Elon Musk's actions on downsizing the government, the economy, human rights, and more. Tina Karens, who is a virologist at the University of Pennsylvania, says she's defending science.
We just got a letter last week that said, like, no more dry ice, no more liquid nitrogen. These are things that we need to do experiments in science. And because of Trump and his bullying and his pulling back of grants that have already been funded, it's really causing a lot of problems in science.
Richard Crossan says he's concerned about the legality of Trump's orders.
I've been a lawyer for 45 years, and I have never seen such a concerted attack on our system of laws, on the rule of law. Although he's a lame duck, he can do a lot of damage before he leaves.
The White House responded to the nationwide protests in a statement saying, quote, President Trump's position is clear. He will always protect Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid for eligible beneficiaries. Meanwhile, the Democrats' stance is giving Social Security, Medicaid, and Medicare benefits to illegal aliens, which will bankrupt these programs and crush American seniors. And this isn't the first time activists gathered nationwide to stand against Trump and Musk. Locally, they say they'll continue to fight back. We also reached out to local Republican representatives for comment. We're waiting to hear back. Live it.
There you go.
Just amazing. Wow. It's always the, he's going to take away your Medicare and Social Security. They've been saying that for 10 years.
Yeah.
Last time I checked, all of those programs are still here.
Right.
Everybody's receiving their Social Security and Medicare.
Even people that are 115 years old and have been dead for 40 years.
I know. Yeah. And dry ice is a strange hill to die on.
Yeah. Trump's going after dry ice.
Dry ice.
What? Okay. To round out the 6 o'clock news hour, Phillies take 2 of 3 from Dodgers as Nick Castellanos' grand slam helps Philadelphia win final game of series.
Look at that. Anna Hummel.
I did ask how to say his last name.
Castellanos.
Castellanos hit a grand slam and the Philadelphia Phillies rallied with 2 runs in the 7th inning to beat the Los Angeles Dodgers 8-7 on Sunday.
Took 2 out of 3.
Yeah. Now they got the Braves in Atlanta. Yes.
They're 7-2, right? Yep. And then they go to Atlanta to face the lowly Braves.
Yeah. You can't ask for a better stretch if you want like juicy matchups with big marquee rivals. Dodgers, Braves, Cubs, Mets, Giants. Who are the cheaters?
Yeah, Astros.
The Astros.
Okay, that's how sports gets into my radar.
That game yesterday with the Phillies, that was a game for the ages, man. Dude, it felt like October.
I know.
It really did.
Slugging away.
Yeah.
McCarthy almost fell out of the chair when Castellanos hit the grand slam.
Yeah.
T-Mac.
Yeah.
And that is a
he does that on a single.
Life? I know he does.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep. Kale and Company News Live.
All right, Anna, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. 6:10. Well, I haven't had a big take at 6:10 in about 2 years. Let's get to it on a Monday. It's time for another big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, the big take this morning is brought to you by the Gift of Life. Statements made. You know, free speech is all about letting people voice their minds and share their viewpoints and allowing those who disagree to challenge what they disagree with. But not all statements resonate. Not all protests land, and for some, it's probably best not to speak at all. That was the theme around the country over the last 3 days on three different fronts. And those would be Trump and tariffs, left-wing protests against Donald Trump and Elon Musk, as well as our little old buddy Tony Fauci. Right off the top, though, let's hit tariffs. Nations who have taken advantage of us are already beginning to cave. Vietnam has told the Trump administration on Friday that they want to cut their tariffs with America down to zero if an agreement can be made. Vietnam tariffs the United States at 90%. Last week, Trump implemented a 45% tariff against Vietnam, and it would appear that we have movement. Then over the weekend, India, which imposes a 52% tariff on us, and Trump just imposed a 26% tariff on them, has now led to officials looking to reach a new trade deal. Two of the top six nations, from a percentage standpoint of high tariffs to America, beginning to buckle under the pressure in less than a week. Here's Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana, my boy, echoing what I've been screaming about on this show for weeks. Listen and watch.
Here's what I think. America is rich. We buy a lot of stuff. President Trump is saying that if you American business or you foreign businesses want to sell in America, then move your business here and hire American workers. That's an laudable goal, and I support it. It'll work long term. But as you mentioned, in the long term, we're dead. Short term matters. And the truth is, nobody knows what the impact of these tariffs are going to be. Bill, I listened to my friend on another network, Willie Geist, this morning, predict raging inflation. Now, I know Mr. Geist is smart and well-educated because he went to Vanderbilt. But that's just a wag. That's a wild-ass guess. China has huge trade barriers. They don't have inflation. They've got deflation. India has a lot of trade barriers. They don't have raging inflation.
And the United States doesn't have a revenue problem. It has a spending problem. If you make $250,000 a year, but you have massive debt, it's not a salary problem. It's a you problem. You're spending more than you bring in. Democrats freaking out over tariffs and the possibility of short-term financial pain are the same ones who were blowing money on transgender monkeys in third world countries, didn't know about it, and then were pissed to find out about it. And they are the ones who told you Biden's economy over the last 2 years, it was booming. This isn't about the next 6 months. It's about the next six decades. And for all of you soiling yourself about your 401k, take a bit of advice from Warren Buffett. Rumor has it he knows a thing or two about the stock market. Listen and watch.
Some people should not own stocks at all because they just get too upset with price fluctuations. If you're going to do dumb things because your stock goes down, you shouldn't own a stock at all.
No, I mean, what are dumb things? Selling a stock?
Yeah, selling a stock as it goes down. I mean, if you buy your house at $20,000 and somebody comes along the next day and says, I'll pay you $15,000, you don't sell it because the quote's $15,000. You look at the house or whatever it may be. But some people are not actually emotionally or psychologically fit to own.
And why is Trump and Musk and this party gutting it all? Because globalism has failed. Even the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom has declared so. Headline from the Telegraph over the weekend, Starmer to admit globalization has failed as tariff war rages. They write, UK Prime Minister Starmer makes stunning announcement that the era of globalism is over. Quote, Trump has done something that we don't agree with, but there's a reason why people are behind him on this. A Downing Street official said, the world has changed. Globalization is over and we are now in a new era. In a piece in the Telegraph published on Saturday, Starmer personally made this very argument, saying, quote, first it was defense and national security, now it is the global economy and trade. Old assumptions can no longer be taken for granted. The world as we know it has gone, end quote. And you know what makes this discussion even richer here in America is that the party of equity is trying to fight this. Maybe they should listen to Scott Bessent deliver the data on American wealth. Listen and watch this.
I believe that it's going to work. And I know that what we were doing wasn't working.
Yes.
So I think we have to try this. And I have a high confidence ratio it's going to work. I'm not happy with what's going on in the market today, but the distribution of equities across households, the top 10% of Americans own 88% of equities, 88% of the stock market. The next 40% owns 12% of the stock market. The bottom 50 has debt. They have credit card bills. They rent their homes. They have auto loans. And we've got to give them some relief.
That's here. The message right there. Just as a bystander, I'm like, wow, okay.
The bottom 50% are in debt. Probably the same group of Americans that were protesting nationwide over the weekend as part of the anti-Trump and anti-Elon Musk hands-off demonstrations. According to ABC News, more than 1,200 hands-off demonstrations were planned on Saturday in all 50 states by more than 150 groups, including civil rights organizations, labor unions, LGBTQ plus advocates, veterans, and fair election activists. Here was some of the footage in Boston, courtesy of ABC News. Listen and watch.
Here's a live look at Boston, Massachusetts now as we check back in on one of our top stories, anti-Trump protests taking place across the country today after a tumultuous week, to say the least, on Wall Street and the economy. We want to point out, just a few minutes ago, we did show you a protest. We said it was Boston. It was not Boston there. It was an unrelated protest. But what you are looking at right now is Boston. And I'm from there. I can recognize this. This is the plaza right outside of City Hall.
So three Democrats say it, and it's no problem. Donald Trump does it, and it's a big problem. And as usual, the mostly peaceful left shows you their hatred and the fact that they don't even really know what free speech includes and what is not covered in the First Amendment. Phil, please throw up this graphic on YouTube. Here is a protester from the weekend, sunglasses on, COVID mask on, wearing an anti-Elon Musk t-shirt that says, quote, open season, with a red bullseye target on his face. So how long before someone tries to assassinate Elon Musk? Because we know there's more Thomas Matthew Crooks out there. The protests occurred in our region as well. You heard that report earlier in the news with Anna from 6ABC. And now we also have college professors that are stuck in academia and progressive thinking talking about these demonstrations and why they are necessary. But lastly, speaking of being stuck in a proven losing methodology, we get to Dr. Anthony Fauci. Yep, that's right. The booster bozo himself, making the rounds yet again. Here was Fauci at the Tulane University Book Festival, peddling pandemic fear and still not admitting that he was wrong 5 years later. Listen and watch.
What is likely to happen, I don't know if it's going to be next year or 10 years or 15 or 20 years from now, is the emergence of another respiratory disease. It may be another coronavirus, because we know that coronaviruses really, mostly in bats, have the capability of binding to receptors that are in humans. So the thing that needed to be done is that you needed to have physical distancing, which, you know, people say lockdown. We didn't lock down. China locked down. We definitely closed a lot of things down. So I think if you really are fair and stop the finger pointing, in the beginning, it was absolutely essential. The only way to immediately shut down the 4,000 to 5,000 deaths per day was to shut things down for a while. That was the right choice. The thing we need to re-examine is how long you did that, how long schools were closed, how long industry was shut down.
Interesting, Fauci. So it's bats, not lab leaks. Social distancing, right? AKA that was made up out of thin air with no scientific evidence. And of course, the reallocation of wealth to the 1%. Kids still not at appropriate reading or math levels 5 years removed from the pandemic. That guy right there makes my skin crawl. I don't want to hear from the left wingers anymore or those who insist on remaining in the status quo. You've become dependent on government and you're told what to believe. Sorry, but your belief system is flawed and you're being all shaken up over it. It hasn't worked. I want to hear from those with the brains and the balls to try something new and speak up about it. Donald Trump, Elon Musk, RFK Jr., Tulsi Gabbard, you know, Democrats that joined the other side. That's how America gets back to where it needs to be. And that is the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Which is brought to you by the Gift of Life. Join Gift of Life for the 28th annual Donor Dash on Sunday, April 27th at the Philadelphia Navy Yard. Promote the life-saving importance of organ and tissue donation by participating in the 5K or 10K run. Or you can do the 3K walk. Register today at donors1.org. 855-839-1210 is how you jump in on social media at 1210WPHT. And, of course, let your comments rip in the YouTube chat. YouTube.com/@1210WPHT. We'll come back, get Anna's thoughts and Harry's thoughts as we get it going here on a Monday morning. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
We've played you the clips in the past of Obama and Hillary. Everything that Trump is doing, everything that Elon Musk is doing, it's just 90s and early to mid-2000s Democrat stuff that was never challenged by the media and never triggered the left. But because the orange man does it, everybody's throwing a conniption fit now.
Yeah, and mix in some Reagan, too, from the 80s.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I really feel Trump is, right? Like, he's a 90s Democrat mixed in with Ronald Reagan, American exceptionalism, make America great again, rebranded 40 years later. But apparently that means you're a fascist, you're a Nazi, you're Hitler, orange man bad. Yeah. I don't get it. I really don't.
It seems like the Overton window has shifted so far to the left.
Yep.
That now 90s Democrats are fascist Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's what I am now.
It's just, to me, it's amazing that, and I have this battle with my mother-in-law all the time when we talk politics. I think she's still of the belief and the mindset of where the parties were 20, 25 years ago, and she's oblivious to the fact that party realignment is a real thing. Republicans today are not what they were 20, 25 years ago. Democrats have been hijacked by the far left. I mean, it's like she's been in some sort of coma, and she just came back, and she's like, I'm going to go to the grocery store. And I'm like, you don't have to. There's a thing called Amazon and DoorDash. Everything will be delivered to your front door now. You no longer have to leave your house. And she's oblivious to that. And I think a lot of these people that are protesting it, some of which are smart people, like that lawyer that we played for you in the news with a 6 yeah. ABC clip, guy's been an attorney for 45 years. He's not dumb. At least I don't think he is. Yet they just have no idea what's going on. And I think Trump's going to get a lot of these nations the cave. And that's why I had that in the big take as well. I think Howard Lutnick said this over the weekend. And I've said this on the show. I think Lutnick's a little crazy.
I
think he's a kind of a squeaky little weaselly salesman type. But he said over the weekend that about 50 nations out of the 170 or so that Trump slapped with tariffs have already reached out to discuss.
Yeah.
So that's about exciting a third stuff. Right there.
Yeah.
I think it's probably about half of that.
So you think it's overinflated?
I think that guy gilds the lily.
So it's 25.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
He's a good salesman.
Yeah.
We have a little bit. Pitch it. We have a little bit of Howard Lutnick on Face the Nation. Phil, if you want to grab cut 13 here.
Okay. Yeah, get your barf bag ready. Yeah, I mean, I'm more of a Scott Bessent guy when it comes to tariffs.
We haven't, okay. But we'll start since you mentioned Lutnick.
Yeah, but here we go. This is this guy.
I got it. All the factories that come to America, and that's what's coming here. So,
okay,
the president
is the 10% tariff permanent?
He's going to protect them. Well, remember, this is a national security issue.
I got it. Is the 10% tariff
our budget deficit?
Shut up, Margaret.
That, you know, the laws of America are the laws of America. He would like it to be that we need to protect the companies that invest here, and we are going to protect the companies that invest here. That is the policy of the United States of America. That's why trillions of dollars are coming here. The ripoff of the United States of America is over. All these companies are going to come and invest here. That's what they're doing. That's why they've committed trillions of dollars. They know this is the economy.
Mr. Secretary,
this is the place to go.
Mr. Secretary, the campaign's over. You won. So I'm asking what the plan is. So the Treasury Secretary said on another network, we're going to hold the course. It's not the kind of thing you can negotiate away in days or weeks. That makes it sound like the tariffs are staying in place at least for days or weeks. Is that correct, or is the president considering postponing implementation to negotiate?
There's no postponing. They are definitely going to stay in place for days and weeks. That is sort of obvious. The president needs to reset global trade. Everybody has a trade surplus, and we have a trade deficit. We are paying away our future and our lives. The countries of the world are ripping us off, and okay. It's got to end. The president has made it crystal, crystal clear. This is the policy we are going to protect. The factories that come build in America, we are going to protect them. They're okay. going to be successful. That's why they're going to build in America, the greatest economy in the earth. All of these companies are going to come and build here.
All right, so there's Lutnick, Secretary of Commerce, on Face the Nation with the always combative Margaret Brennan.
She is so rude conservatives are on.
Of course she is.
Yeah, and then she just sits back off. She might as well push her chair away from the desk mm-hmm. when a Democrat is speaking. It's amazing.
You know, Anna, I'm not condoning violence in any way, shape, or form, but you know jujitsu, right?
I mean, not well. I don't want to claim that I'm good, but I do.
But like, if you got Margaret Brennan on the mat, you think you'd be able to wipe the floor with her pretty quickly?
Probably. If I can get her on the ground, probably.
I'm going to start protesting and make that
happen. Do your best work on the ground.
Well, that's the whole game of jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, okay.
It's ground work.
It's all about the leverage, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, Anna would flip all of us over the table right now.
If I could, yeah.
Exactly.
But if you sucker punch me in the chin, like, I could go down just as easily. But right. Once we're on the ground, it's my game.
With this whole thing with markets crashing, Marco Rubio said, he probably had the best explanation for this, I think.
Okay.
He said, economies are not crashing, markets are crashing. There's a big difference.
Sure, yes.
And he explains it. Roll this.
What is your reaction and what is the impact on Europeans? You want them to spend more on defense,
yes.
which they're agreeing to, finally. But how can they do that when their economies are crashing and they are now...
No, their economies are not crashing. The markets are reacting. No, their economies are not crashing. Their markets are reacting to a dramatic change in the global order in terms of trade. And so what happens is pretty straightforward. If you're a company and you make a bunch of your products in China, and all of a sudden shareholders or people that play the stock market realize that it's going to cost a lot more to produce in China, your stock is going to go down. But ultimately, the markets, as long as they know what the rules are going to be moving forward, and as long as that's set and you can sustain where you're going to be, the markets will adjust. Businesses around the world, including in trade and global trade, they just need to know what the rules are. Once they know what the rules are, they will adjust to those rules.
It's just that's a good breakdown by Rubio, and there's just so many people I feel like out there that are oblivious to the fact that almost every other nation implements tariffs, and their economies, not all of them, but some of them are doing really well. You heard John Kennedy in that clip for The Big Take. China doesn't have inflation. They have deflation.
Mm-hmm.
Trump's even said, we don't want inflation to get too low. Like, we don't want it to be 1.5%. We'd like it to be 1.9%. Like, there's a negative if it gets too low. India doesn't have inflation. All of these nations that have been implementing. And when my wife, of all people, has to... my wife went to get her hair done yesterday up
hair
in the
did.
Lehigh Valley.
Hair did.
Hair did. Thank you very much. Yeah. And she sends me this little Facebook meme. And my wife never initiates any political talk with me. She never initiates any talk with me, period, because she hates me. She sends me this screen grab of something that she saw while she was scrolling her Facebook feed. And it says, I have a question. If tariffs are so bad, why do 170 countries have tariffs on every American product that they import? Like, they make it sound like Trump's the only one that utilizes them, wants to use them, and it's almost like they forgot the fact that he utilized them successfully 6-7 years ago.
Right.
Yeah, that's exactly what Scott Bessent was saying. I watched a little bit of his Tucker Carlson interview, but I really liked when he said, you know, Wall Street has had their time. It's time for Main Street. It's their time to shine.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, the stock market is not the economy.
Right.
Right.
You know,
and a lot of us, I think I saw the number, the amount of people that are actually invested in one way or the other in the stock market is now up to 62%. More Americans play the stock market.
Play the stock market.
But most of them are 401ks.
Right.
And we all know this, and Greg, you've echoed this on the air, too.
Yeah.
You don't check your 401k every single day.
Right. Oh, my God, it went down.
If you do, you're going to lose your mind.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what Buffett was saying.
Well, the clip of Buffett there. It's like, you know, you have to have a certain mentality to play the right. stock market because you're going to lose some days.
Right. And there's some people that can't handle the swings and the ebbs and the flows. Right. Harry Enten tweeted 7 hours ago, the great data guy from CNN. He said, I did a segment at 5:15 today on CNN on the chance of a recession. I specifically referenced Goldman Sachs going from 20% to 35%. Things are happening so fast in the 5 hours since that segment aired that Goldman Sachs is now projecting a 45% chance of a recession. Not good. Which I would agree, but Trump also said there might be short-term pain. Mm-hmm. He's been brutally honest about implementing them and saying, hey, it might suck for the short term, but again, this is not about the next 6 months. It's about the next six decades.
Right, mm-hmm. but it had better rebound before midterms.
You're right.
Oh, yeah.
Or, Republicans yeah. will get their you-know-what
yes.
kicked in.
Yes.
You mentioned Scott Bessent. He was also on with Welker there from Meet the Press. And he goes through the data numbers and you know, for tariffs. And I think he had a pretty good breakdown of it. Roll this.
Kristen, what I like is data. And if we look at data from President Trump's first term, and there's a big study that just came out from a group of economists, mostly at MIT, that showed that a 20% tariff on China led to a 0.7% tax or price level increase over 4 years. I think that's pretty good. If we can take in 20% in tariffs and it's a 0.7% increase, and Kristen, the little publicized story this week, everyone wants to look at the stock market going down. You know what else went down? Oil prices went down almost 15% in 2 days, which impacts working Americans much more than the stock market does. Interest rates hit their low for the year, so I'm expecting the mortgage applications to pick up.
Well, just to be very clear, though, I mean, during President Trump's first terms, the cost to Americans was nearly $80 billion in new taxes due to his tariffs. Prices did go up on everything from washing machines to tires.
Well, no. But let's go back. The aggregate number was 0.7, so we can discern the individual things. Also, households saw real net wages go up. So if wages go up faster than prices, which is not what happened over the past 4 years, that's why the bottom 50% got eviscerated.
The fact that Kristen Welker can't comprehend that or refuses to acknowledge it is pretty staggering. I mean, let's be honest. If let's say you get a 3% raise at work, but cost of living has only gone up 0.7%, you have more net money in your
pocket.
You're
in the good.
Right. You're in the good.
Right.
But why would they focus on that?
When right.
Could...
right. Right. Because that's a win.
Take a dump on Trump.
Right. Yeah, but right. We take a dump on Trump. Yeah. I like that. That's a t-shirt. We're gonna put that in the merch store. But if the cost of living is up 15-20% and you're getting a 7% raise, you're still upside down in the wrong direction. And the fact that somebody, well, you know what it is? She's smart enough to know that. But she's an elitist,
right.
And she's not impacted by inflation because she makes multiple millions of dollars a year working
right.
for NBC.
And they can't acknowledge a win.
No,
they can't.
That's the essence of TDS.
Right.
Yeah. Like you said, what did you say that if he were to?
I said that over the weekend that Trump and Musk could cure childhood cancer.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They'd still protest him.
Oh, of course.
They would find something.
They
wrong
would
with
find
it.
Something.
They really would.
Because if they said something like that, their constituents would burn them alive.
Right.
Yep. So.
Yep.
One more clip. He was Trump was on Air Force One coming home from Mar-a-Lago over the weekend, and he likes to do this now Sunday nights. He takes questions from the pool reporters there on the plane with him. One asked about how much pain, like what's the pain threshold for this?
Mm-hmm.
And first he tells her it's a stupid question, and then and then he answers like this. Roll it.
Which is what it should be.
Is there pain in the market at some point? You're unwilling to tolerate this idea of a Trump put. Is there a threshold?
I think your question is so stupid. I don't want anything to go down. But sometimes you have to take medicine to fix something.
Take medicine.
And
yeah.
We have such a horrible. We have been treated so badly by other countries because we had stupid leadership that allowed this to happen. They took our businesses, they took our money, they took our jobs, they moved it to Mexico, they moved it to Canada, they moved a lot of it to China. and it's not sustainable, we're not going to do it. Now we have hundreds of billions of dollars is pouring into our country. On a monthly basis, it's pouring. It's already started because I put tariffs on. And eventually it's going to straighten out, and our country will be solid and strong again.
Elon Musk has...
He's been trying to do this for 35, 40 years. I mean, I gave you the clip in the Big Take a week ago when he was on with Oprah and Charlie Rose in 1990 talking about how America's on the wrong end of these business deals with all of these countries.
Right.
This is nothing new.
And by the way, is he doing Sean Farish there, or is it the other way around? Because whenever I hear him speak, yeah, I'm thinking of Sean now.
Right.
Yeah, you're right.
Sure.
And yes. Sean will be with us on Thursday. It's just one last thing, too. It's so annoying to hear that. That's my one pet peeve. Can we stop doing interviews on airplanes?
Because it's so loud.
Or on Friday on the White House lawn before you get on the chopper.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the old pet peeve when we were in sports media, and like the reporters are in the back without a microphone shouting the question, and we're airing the Andy Reid day after press conference. You can hear Andy Reid answering the question. You have no idea who asked the question.
And you can't really hear the question.
No. Yeah. No. It's like you're in the audio business. Can we get good audio, for God's
sakes? What is he, like, peeking out of a drawer?
He looks like he's popping out of a porta potty.
It's almost like he's going to the bathroom. Yeah.
Interesting flex, but with the really camera shaking as they're in the air.
It's like Chris Farley and Tommy Boy when he's got the tie stuck in the, in the john.
He should be sitting in his, he has a desk there, like an Oval Office desk there. He should be sitting at the desk.
Nice. Just holding court.
Yeah.
Next to the Diet Coke button.
Yeah.
855-839-1210, the number. We'll come back and we're going to wrap up the first hour with a story that I think is pretty interesting on the sports politics intersection, because the Dodgers just wrapped up a series this weekend with the Phillies, and one star player who did not attend the White House years ago when he won a world championship has now reversed course. We'll give you that story when we come back, but first a word from our friends at the Piazza Auto Group, and we're talking today about the 2025 ADX from Piazza Auto, and we're talking about Acura. It is the latest addition to their precision-crafted lineup. This premium compact SUV is a breakthrough in design, performance, and innovation. With a turbocharged engine, available all-wheel drive system, and cutting-edge technology, the Acura ADX is engineered for those who demand more. And best of all, now available at Piazza Acura of Ardmore, Reading, and Westchester, with leases as low as $389 per month. Visit PiazzaAcura.com for all of the details.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
A couple of good stories that we'll get to coming up as we kick off the second hour after Honest News, including, is micro-cheating a new kind of infidelity in the social media age? Fascinating story by the Associated Press.
Micro cheating. Is that like small cheating?
I think that's like,
as opposed to macro cheating.
As opposed to macro.
Yeah.
And then also the Wall Street Journal, and I can relate to this one perfectly. Headline, Americans buy a crazy amount of cheap stuff.
Yes.
And it's costing us dearly.
It's the best story you'll read all week.
So we'll get to that. But to wrap up the hour, I thought this was interesting because it really falls in line with the Eagles. With the Eagles going to the White House after not going when they won the Super Bowl with Nick Foles. Second time around, we talked about it last week. Anna, you had the story in the news with Sirianni and his excitement to go to the White House, Jeffrey Lurie, and things like that. Now, fresh off of a weekend series with the Dodgers and the Phillies here at Citizens Bank Park, Mookie Betts, and if you're a Phillies fan, you saw Mookie Betts over the weekend, one of the great players for the Dodgers, and their never-ending payroll. You know, if Doge were to go into the Dodgers, they wouldn't be able to trim off a lot of fat because they've got about, what, a $300-$500 million payroll?
Yeah, but what are you going to do? Get rid of Otani?
Well, no, you leave Otani and Betts and a few, but then you trim off the bottom feeders, the bullpen guys.
They have the deepest pockets of any
they MLB. Unbelievable
they just spend
money.
And spend
unbelievable
and spend.
Money. They're like Democrats with a blank check.
Yeah. Oh,
it's just unbelievable. So Mookie Betts says this time is different. Now the Dodgers won the World Series. He is going to the White House. And he said the following, which I thought was interesting. No matter what I say or what I do, people are going to take it as political, Betts said when he was speaking with the LA Times on Friday. But that's definitely not what this is. This is about what the Dodgers were able to accomplish last year. This is not about me. I don't want anything to be about me. This is about the Dodgers because these boys were there for me. So when he was with the Red Sox, he didn't go.
Okay.
But I really think that this is in line with what we talked about the Eagles last week. This is really the change in a cultural shift in this country where being a Trump supporter is not nearly as taboo as it used to be. I don't think you have to be one of these people as a public figure or a private person afraid to show your exhilaration or your support for wearing the MAGA hat, the red hat, the Trump bumper sticker, a Trump flag, whatever it is. You might have to worry about driving a Tesla.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
right
all of a sudden, it seems like, you know, if you're the Trump fan out there, you're kind of in the clear. If you're driving a Tesla, you might want to have, you know, something with you, you know, maybe like a ball bat.
Well, I'm a fan of most of the policies. I would never wear a hat. I would never wear a shirt. I would never put
a stupid sign
in my front yard.
Yeah, you're not a fanboy of anything.
No.
Right.
Absolutely not.
Right.
Oh, I don't do any of that stuff because it's just invite. You don't know who's out there.
Yeah.
And it's inviting people on the road to do some scary stuff. So I just keep my opinions to myself. I mean, not on the air, but when I'm driving around and doing the things that I do, I don't advertise.
But I mean, people support politicians now like they're football teams. It's really bizarre.
Well,
I think, to me,
it's interesting that you say that because now it's like you throw on anything that's Trump and you can, and even if you get pushback from it, whether you're Mookie Betts, Nick Cale, Anna Hummel, or Harry Mays, all you have to hit people with is the fact that, hey, he won the popular vote. So it's not like he was the president 8 years ago where he won the Electoral College but still lost the popular vote. You could sit there and just shove it back in people's face and say, there's more of us than there are of you.
Despite what the media will try to tell you,
I'm not in the minority.
Yeah.
I am the majority now. So you can disagree with that, but like I'm not going to be afraid. I mean, I've always said this in the past. Oh, you're a Trump supporter? Yeah, I'm a Trump supporter. Oh, like, did I vote for bin Laden? Am I supporting the Taliban? Like, I voted for the Republican Party. Right. That's some awful thing to say or do, and you should keep that to yourself.
Right.
I'm not going to keep it to myself. I know you guys do, but
I
got the whole bumper sticker, the whole
bit.
I'd be honest, and I never get really any pushback.
No?
Almost never.
Nobody's keyed your truck?
I've had women at my daughter's dance studio in Collegeville come up to me and they asked me to roll the window down when I'm waiting to pick them up. And I thought they were going to give me the business or ask me something. And they're like, hey, I like the bumper sticker.
I'm
like, say it louder for the people in the back.
Yeah.
You don't have to whisper it anymore.
Things were so bad over the last 4 years that America just like ran back to our ex.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. That's exactly what it is. Trump's the ex.
Right. Yeah.
We just can't quit him.
We need to move on. We need to turn the page. And America, I mean, did, depending on how you feel the 2020 election went. But after that, we're like, no, we need to go back to our ex because this was terrible.
Or it was something that you never could comprehend before. And then you considered it this time around. And you're like, all right, yeah, I got to do something different. Let's go with this, which I still think to this day, my wife voted Trump for the first time. She won't tell me. She refuses.
She won't tell you?
She will not tell me.
That's a little suspect, don't you think?
Yeah.
I said it's one of two things.
She didn't vote for him. No, she's lying to you.
Either she voted for Kamala and won't tell me, or she did and she won't give me the satisfaction.
That's probably what it is.
Yeah.
That's what I think
it is.
So, good job, Anna. Anna's got her to the radar.
You don't get a lot of satisfaction at home, do you?
No, I've been married for 25 years.
25 years?
No, I've been dating.
I'm doing the math. I'm like, you got married at 12?
Yeah. Well, speaking of micro-cheating in the digital media age, we'll get to that story when we come back. Anna's got some news to kick off hour two. Nick Cale, Anna Hummel, in for Dawn Stensland, Harry Mays, Greg Stocker. Cut sheet just about 50 minutes away here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.